Once again, let me first of all thank Mr. Trimble for his words of welcome and the privilege of being here and sharing fellowship with you today. And already we have known and felt the Lord's presence, and I trust indeed that we will know much of the Lord's help today and that we will see Christ our Saviour glorified. Could we turn in the Word of God, please, to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John and to the chapter 5. John chapter 5. This is a portion of the Word of God that has been a particular encouragement to me over the years, and the Lord has laid it upon my heart this morning to bring this Word to you. It has deeply encouraged me on many, many occasions. Laboring in the work of God and seeking to bring the gospel to young people whose lives are held in drug addiction, really ruined by sin. And this portion in particular has been a tremendous source of encouragement. I trust it will be an encouragement to your hearts today. John 5, and reading from the first verse in the chapter, please. After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Amen. We'll end our reading at the verse 15, and we pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. With the Lord's word open, we'll bow together for prayer, seeking for divine enablement and help. Our Heavenly Father, with thy word open before us, we are very conscious of our own personal need. O God, we would ask that thou wilt take this word and write it upon our hearts. Grant that we will have those ears opened by the Holy Spirit today to hear the Word of God. Those hearts touched, receptive to receive thy Word, to obey it. Grant, Lord, that we will today see Christ our Saviour uplifted and glorified. Grant to us that we would see Thee afresh. Lord, we confess our need, that without Thee we can do nothing. And in the preaching of Thy word, we would pray that Thou wilt grant to us divine unction and enablement. Lord, help us today. Grant to us infilling of the Spirit of God, and may we see Christ afresh, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the Lord Jesus Christ lived and ministered upon the earth, He preached to the multitudes. He was engaged in what we would term today as mass evangelism, for there are really two modes of evangelism. There is mass evangelism, preaching to the multitudes, and then there is personal evangelism, which involves dealing with souls on an individual basis. The Lord Jesus Christ, on numerous occasions, was actively involved in mass evangelism, setting the multitudes before Him, preaching to the numerous amounts of people, to thousands upon thousands, and in some instances it is supposed that the Lord preached on upwards of 20,000 people on occasions. So the Lord Jesus Christ Himself was involved in mass evangelism, preaching and reaching out to the many. However, He not only spoke to the multitudes and to vast numbers, Christ our Saviour also spoke to souls on an individual or a personal basis. This is certainly a challenging aspect to every believer and every child of God here this morning. To think that we need to reach out to people on a personal basis. You see, there were occasions when the Saviour left aside the multitudes and He was preaching to thousands. And He singled out an individual. He spoke to one soul personally. That, of course, shows to us the worth of one soul. That shows to us the value that the Lord places upon a soul. That the soul of man is precious. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Occasions, times, whenever the Saviour left aside preaching to thousands to deal with an individual soul. Think of that occasion when Nicodemus came to the Lord by night and the Lord spoke to Nicodemus personally. Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, you need to be saved. You have religion, but you need Christ. You need to be born again. The Lord Jesus not only dealt with Nicodemus as an individual, but He also spoke to the woman of Samaria, that woman who came and who was met by the Lord at the well, the woman whose life was changed forever. And the Lord, drawing aside from the multitudes, singled out that woman and dealt with her soul. The woman of Samaria is a marvelous conversion. And the Lord dealt with that woman personally. We only have to think of Zacchaeus and how the Lord was passing through and there was a multitude of people. And looking up, He saw Zacchaeus in a tree. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Singling out an individual. Yes, there is a need to focus on the multitudes, to reach out to the multitudes, to be actively involved in reaching out to the multitudes. But there is also a need to personally evangelize men and women. To speak to women, men and women, on a one-to-one basis. In fact, these conversions with many others demonstrate and depict and show us how that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the friend of sinners. How He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now in the Gospel of John, in chapter 5, we're told of another individual that the Saviour met with. dealt with on a personal basis. A man whose life was changed by the grace of God. A man whose life was never to be the same. An individual that Christ met with, ministered to. The conversion of the impotent man is a glorious picture of the gospel. And the Lord, in his work of grace in the hearts of sinners. I trust that what it will be today is an encouragement for us to redouble our efforts in evangelism, to help us to refocus upon the need in order that we might be soul winners, evangelists, this year. I want you to, first of all, consider with regard to this impotent man, I want you to notice this man's condition. Look at the verse 5 in our chapter. We are told that here amongst these people that there was a certain man. We read in verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Here we are told about the health, the condition of this man. We're told that he has this infirmity, this disease. And here this impotent man lay crippled at the side of the pool, Bethesda. Unable to help himself, to save himself from his condition. We're told the reason that this man was sick and why he had this infirmity. If you look at the verse 14, here we're told the reason why this man was sick and unwell. In the verse 14 we're told, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. His condition is, or his health is attributed to his sin. We're told that the reason this man, he has this physical ailment, this illness is because of his sin. Whatever that sinful practice was, it is not, we're not told what that sinful practice was here. It's not discussed. But we are told that as a result of his sin, the consequence was that it had affected his body. I said that this is a picture of the gospel, but you know, it's a picture here of man's condition before God. Here we have a picture of the sinner's heart and the sinner's condition before God. For the man and woman that is without Christ, every sinner, they have a heart that is deceitfully wicked, desperately wicked, who can know it? Here was a man, and we're told that his condition was brought about because of his sin. Of course, the young people that we work with and speak to and seek to reach, they have a physical ailment and condition. Their bodies are wrecked because of drugs and because of abuse of drugs. But really it is because of their sin that they're in that condition. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. I have no doubt here, but this man, he never imagined, never dreamt that he would end up in the place that he was in. He would never have thought that for years he would be there at the side of the pool, his body wrecked because of sin, this disease. Here is a picture of the sinner. Here was a man who had no walk before God. And just as this man had no walk before God, so the sinner has no walk with the Lord. Just as this impotent man was not able to save himself, so the sinner is not able to save himself, to deliver himself from the power of sin. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Could I say to you today that if you are without Christ, then you are in a most wretched and poor condition. Your heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. You haven't got that walk before God. Here was a man. We're told of his health. We're also told that this man here, he not only did he have no health, but we're also told in the verse 5 that he had no hope. Here we read, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Here this man had been lying at the side of this pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Now we can say the words and go over them a number of times, 38 years, without really taking to heart or fully understanding just how long a time span that is. 38 years in this condition. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, here was this man who tragically lay hopelessly at the side of the pool of Bethesda. 38 years. I am, this year, in the will of God, going to be 37. And it seems like a long time. And yet for this man here, he was at the side of this pool for 38 years. I want you to grasp the hopelessness of his situation. To see just how hopeless his circumstances were. For this long period of time, day after day, week after week, minute after minute, moment after moment, here this man lay at the side of this pool in this hopeless condition. He had no future. His prospects, to say the least, they were bleak, they were dire. He had no future to look forward to. Humanly speaking, his condition was incurable. Nothing could be done for him. He lay hopelessly there at the side of the pool. The fact that he was there 38 years would cause us to think that here was a man or woman that there was no hope for at all. You know, there are people today in the society in which we live, and some would have us believe that they are beyond reach and beyond help, and they're beyond hope. Society has tried its best with them, perhaps put them in institutions, hospitals, people who have addictions, whether gambling, alcoholism, drugs, whatever. And society has tried its best, but to no avail. You see, it can deal with the outward, the exterior, but it cannot get to the heart. And so society tries to do its best, as it were, to help these people, to cure them. And then it cries out and it says, alas, here is a class of people that cannot be reached, that cannot be helped, that cannot be cured. There is no hope for them. And here was a man, and you know, he was in such a condition. For 38 years he lay hopelessly at the side of this pool. Of course, it is the gospel that reaches to the heart of man. Though the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Lord is able to change the heart of man. The Lord is able to give that new heart. The Lord is able, by the work of grace, to touch that heart, to renew it, to save the soul. I have no doubt that this man here at the side of the pool, that he looked hopelessly day after day upon his situation. I have no doubt in my mind that he was a man and he could watch and witness others been changed, but not him. He saw the reality within their lives, but not his. He could look down to the pool. He could see someone being needed or helped. He could witness them as they were changed. But there was no hope or no future for him. I wonder, is there someone here today, and perhaps that is the experience of your life? You have witnessed the change in someone else's life. You know the reality of the power of the gospel to change. You know that the word that we preach is truth. You have witnessed that change within somebody else's life, within their heart. You have had to testify, to stand back and to say, yes, there has to be a God in heaven. Because of the reality of the change in that person's life, you have witnessed that change. I remember driving one day to the Bible College in Whitfield, and en route we were stopped by, I don't think you have them here, but we stopped by an army roadblock. The army would do checks and they would search cars, whatever, looking for terrorists, and I was stopped by the army. They asked me where I was heading. I said, I'm going to the Bible College. And then the man turned to me and he said, do you know a certain individual within the college? And I said, yes, I do know that man. He's training for the ministry. He said to me, you know, though he wasn't a Christian, he said, there has to be a God in heaven. He said, because we were in the army barracks one day and the mortars were fired by the Provisional IRA and they came. And they landed, one mortar landed in particular, upon the canteen. And he said Gregory was in the canteen. And he said it was basically rubble that was left. And he said, I went and with my bare hands I began to dig, and I was really looking for the body. And he said, I began to dig and I dug the rubble away, and there he was, and not a mark on him. And he said, there has to be a God in heaven. Oh yes, he can witness the change in that man's life. He could see the reality of the gospel. And perhaps as you've looked around you, perhaps in your family, your friends, or someone else, you've had to declare, yes, there is a change. And only Christ has made that change. And I know that what you preach is truth. But you see no hope, no future in your life and your prospects, to say or Blake. As I said last week, so many times I've worked with young people and spoken to them and been with them when they're right down the depths of their drug addiction and they feel that there's no hope and no future. And you know, humanly speaking, you would despair. And some of them, it just seems as if they are purposed just of making shipwreck. But on many occasions, I've come back to this portion in the Word of God, and I want to say it's been a tremendous encouragement. Because here was a man who was there 38 years. There was a man who was hopeless in his condition. A man there was no future for. I want you to also see that this man, tragically, had no help in his condition. Let's read together the verse 6 and the verse 7. We're told, when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been nigh a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? What a question to ask this man. Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. I don't know about you, but those words certainly touch my heart. In the verse 7, sir, I have no man. These words ought to bring a tear to our eye. That here was a man, hopeless though his condition was, terrible the plight he was in, there was no one there to help him. Sir, I have no man. How can I get to the pool? There's no one to aid me, no one to help me. He was just one of many. Perhaps it was because of his condition and the seriousness of his condition. Perhaps it was the fact that he'd been there for 38 years. He's too low in that condition. He's too far gone. He cannot be reached. We'll help someone else. Turned to the Lord and he said, "Sir, I have no man. There's no one to help me. There's no one who cares about me or loves me enough to take the time to help me to the pool." I hope that you noticed that there was a multitude at the side of the pool. Look at the verse 3 in our chapter. And then also in the verse 13, verse 3, we're told that in these, that's in the porches, there lay a great multitude of impotent folk. And then over in the verse 13, "And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place." God speaketh once, yea twice, man perceiveth it not. Here the Lord is trying to emphasize that there was such a tremendous need here. There were multitudes of folk. Here was one man amongst many. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us realize that outside of the doors of this church, there is a multitude of sinners. There are multitudes to be reached. There are multitudes who are living without hope. There are multitudes perishing in sin. Let that burn into our hearts. Let us realize that there are multitudes who need to hear the gospel. Perhaps you say, "Well, what difference can I really make in the work of God? There are multitudes. What difference can I really make? What do I have?" You've got time. Mind you, our time is limited. You've got talents. You have a tongue to confess Christ. You know, when we sit down and think about it, there is so much we can do for the Lord and His work. Society concludes, "We can do nothing with that man or woman. There's no hope, no future, no cure for them." But where society fails, the gospel meets the need of the heart of man, and it brings a hope. It ought to encourage us that there was hope here for this impotent man. Though there was none there to help him, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ saw his need. Look at verse 6 in our chapter. Beautiful words. "When Jesus saw him." And look at those words in relation to the words of verse 7. "I have no man," when Jesus saw him. Man had failed. Failed to see the need of this man. Failed to reach out to help him, to assist him. But the Saviour's eye was upon him. The Saviour's heart was touched with his plight. Well, the Saviour didn't just walk on by. The Saviour didn't conclude, "Well, here's a man who's too low in this condition." Of course not. He met him at the point of his need. Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ sees the sinner at the point of their need today. And able to meet that point of need, whatever that need is. You know, one of the whenever I was just converted, one of the first things I determined was that I would reach out to the young people that were living in our town and to share the gospel with them. And they would be in the street corners and downtown. They would be drinking alcohol and taking drugs. And one of the things I determined was to reach out to them. And the reason was because I used to stand there where they were now standing, doing those things, and I can truly say it, I never remember anyone coming and sharing the gospel with me. Perhaps it was my appearance. Perhaps it was the hard outlook, and people would have thought, "Well, there's someone, and how could they ever receive the gospel? How could they ever be favourable to listen to what I have to say?" It might have been the hard appearance, the attitude. It's no excuse. And I determined that these young people would hear. You know, I'm glad that the 26th of August 1989, I can say in my heart and my life, when Jesus saw him, the Lord Jesus Christ met me at the point of my need. I want you to see it, this man, he didn't rise up and go to the Lord. Rather, the Savior came and drew near. The Savior sought him out. The Savior singled him out. And with a purpose of changing his life, meeting his need. The condition of this man, what a condition. But I want you also to notice and to consider his conversion, for it really was a miraculous conversion. Let us say that every conversion is a miracle whereby God justifies the sinner and declares them righteous. Nothing short of the miracle of salvation can meet the need of any sinner. Only the miracle of salvation can make a sinner a saint, can make an enemy of God a friend of God, can make the ungodly declared righteous by God. Only the miracle of God's salvation. I want you to consider that this conversion of this man, it was instantaneous. And so is the conversion of any sinner who will call upon the Lord, who will willingly turn from their sin, turn in repentance to Christ. The moment they call upon the Lord, the moment that they seek the Lord saves that person. Praise God, you may have come to the meeting today lost, unconverted. You may have come to the service today heading towards everlasting ruin. But in an instant, in a moment of time, you can be saved. Your sins cleansed and forgiven, blotted out, accepted by God because of what Christ has done. Here you'll see that in verse 2 we're told that there was the sheep market, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, and it had five porches. Bethesda in the Hebrew literally means mercy. So here was a place of mercy. Praise God, there is mercy with the Lord. His mercy is everlasting. The number five then speaks to us of grace. And here was a place where mercy and grace met together. Of course, it points us to the cross. It points us to consider Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ, that place where mercy and grace are met together upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number of years ago, I remember hearing of a young man who had been out seeking a place of entertainment. It was a public house, well named. It was called the Gates of Hell. It was a public house in London. And he was seeking out this public house. He couldn't find it. He was searching in vain. He stopped with the policeman, who in the will of God was a Christian, a believer. And it is told of how this young man asked this police officer. He said to him, he said, "Sir, I'm trying to find the gates of hell. Can you tell me how do I get to the gates of hell?" It is recorded of how that officer, his heart was touched. He could give him very clear directions. They also realized that in the same street there was a church called Calvary Baptist Church. They said to that young man, "Young man, go down that road turn the corner, go straight ahead. He said, you'll bypass Calvary and you'll come to the gates of hell. Bypass the cross, and it is inevitable you will come to the gates of hell. My friend, we urge upon you today to stop at Calvary, to consider the person of the Lord Jesus, to look away from your sin, to look away from yourself, to look away from every other thing, and to look to the cross, to Christ. Bypass Calvary and you'll come to the gates of hell. But Calvary is a place of mercy. It is a place of grace. It is a place of forgiveness. It is a place of satisfaction, for God was pleased the sacrifice of his Son. Here we're told of the remedy for this man's condition. Well, this man had a poor, miserable condition. He was in his infirmity for 38 years. What was the remedy to the man's condition? Look at verse 8 and verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. Christ is the answer. Christ is the remedy for man's condition. The Son of God is the only remedy and cure for sinners. Praise the Lord, we have this message of hope, of life, of mercy and grace, salvation for the sinner. The Lord only had to speak the word, and the man was made whole. What an encouragement that is. Perhaps you have been praying long for someone in your family, maybe 38 years. Maybe longer. And at times the devil has, he sought to discourage you and to tell you it's not worth praying on for. Give up. Their heart's too hard. They'll never be saved. What an encouragement it is to us. The Lord only had to speak the word, and this man was made whole. Father, mother, brother, sister, the Lord only has to speak the word to your loved one, and they'll be made whole. Last of all, let us see his confession that this man made. We see this confession in the verse 14 and in the verse 15. In the verse 14, we're told afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. He speaks of the person of Christ. He tells him of the work of Christ. Only the Lord is able to meet the need of the sinner today. He speaks of that work, what Christ had done for him, what the Lord means to him. It's important that we would seek to tell others of what the Lord has done for us. Perhaps, you know, you feel, well, I couldn't stand at an open air when someone is preaching. I couldn't go round the doors with tracts because, you know, I don't feel confident enough to speak to someone. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't have all the answers to the questions. Could I encourage you? Tell them what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Tell the man or woman what Christ means to you. Tell them of Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. Tell them what the Lord has wrought in your heart and in your life. You may not have all the answers to the questions. You may not have that confidence. but talk to souls about the Lord who has saved and set your soul free. Tell someone Christ today. Confess the Lord. He was this man and he began to confess what the Lord had done for him. He began to speak and to tell of what Christ meant to him. He departed and he told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. The Apostle Paul said, it was the love of Christ that constrained him. What Christ had done for his soul, how the Lord had delivered him and freed him, how the Lord had brought him out of bondage and into liberty. It was the love of Christ that caused him to speak. It was the love of Christ that compelled him to go. May it be our heart's desire to tell others of what Christ has done for us. To speak a word in season. As I said, this portion has been a tremendous encouragement to me. Time after time, considering the condition of young lives that are destroyed and ruined through sin, and I've often gone back to this portion and read through it, looked at the hopeless plight of this man. But Jesus saw him. My prayer is that the Lord will stop with those young people. Out of the multitudes, the Lord will single them out. That by His grace, He will save them. May it touch our hearts today. I have no man, Lord, to help me. There's no one to aid, to assist me today. Have no man. Throughout my teenage years, I never remember anyone coming to me and, as I said, sharing the gospel with me. I never remember anyone taking the time. My mother, I'm thankful she prayed for me and just in the home, but outside of the home, there really was no one there to help. I feel that, you know, so often times we're taken up with our own lives and everything that revolves around it, around our lives, that we fail to see the needs of others. We fail to see that there's a multitude around us. We fail to see the great need. The Word of God says that where there is no vision, the people perish. Lord, grant it today that we will have a fresh vision for the souls of men and women. Not only that we would have that vision, but we would have that desire to serve the Lord. That we would pray. That we would witness. That we would go and tell. That we would speak a word in season. And that men and women, looking upon our lives, we'd see something of Christ would see the reality of the gospel, and that their life would be, our life would be a witness to them. You know, one of the greatest influences upon my life and my wife's was my wife's great aunt, and Violet, a number of years ago, went home to be with the Lord. But a woman who, by her very walk, by her very demeanor, was a signpost to heaven, if I could put it that way. The way she would conduct herself, her very mannerisms. We lived wild, reckless lives to our shame. The day that we were married, we didn't have alcohol in our marriage. And you know why? Because Violet was there. We didn't want to offend her. She commanded respect. Though we were ungodly, though we were wretched, her life spoke. May our lives speak to others. May we see the needs of others. Jesus saw him. His life was changed forever. May we have the joy of seeing others come to Christ, seek the Lord, and their lives change forever. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we realize that we have many needs. Lord, we have many needs spiritually. We look at our lives and there are so many areas where we are found wanting and lacking. And our Father, we pray that Thou wilt work in our hearts today by Thy grace. May we become conformed more into the image of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, help us to see the need of others around us. Help us, Lord, to be conscious that men and women are held fast in sin. Help us to realize the seriousness of their condition. And Lord, to be determined to pray and to do the work of God. Lord, bring us into that close relationship and walk with God. We ask that our lives will count for time and for eternity. When men and women within our families and our friends and those of our neighbours look at our lives, that they will see Christ. O God, be pleased to glorify Thy Son. Lord, may we not lose heart. May we not be easily discouraged. Lord, though we have prayed for years for our loved ones, we thank Thee that, Lord, here was a man 38 years, and yet, Lord, Thou didst save him. Lord, have mercy. Help us to persevere. May we never lose sight of our great God and only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we ever have Christ in our minds and upon our hearts. And, Lord, we will give to Thee all the praise, the honor, and all of the glory due to Thy name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.